you're listening to the Rejoiceful Homemaking Podcast. We're your hosts, Colby and Kendall. We are twin sisters that work together to help motivate other women to find peace within the home, cultivating joy in everyday life, and of course, standing firm on Christ. We hope you guys stick around and become part of our community. With all love, enjoy the show. How we grow our community is only through the help of you guys, and it would mean the world to us if we kindly ask for your help on rating this podcast, leaving a review, sending this to family and friends, and of course, word of mouth. As always, if you guys want to be a part of our Instagram, you can find us at rejoicefulhomemaking_, and don't forget to get added to our Facebook group for encouragement, challenges, and blog posts. All right, we have on Dr. Marley today. So if you run into somebody in public from high school and they ask you what you were up to, give us a little introduction of what you would say to them, what you would say, what does your life look like now in 2025?
Yeah, it's definitely changed quite a bit since high school. I've gone through such an evolution since then. So I would say to someone, I recently graduated with my doctorate in chiropractic last year, last June, actually. So I've been in practice for almost a year. I was practicing in person in San Diego for a while, and I had mixed feelings about that. I love in-person practice, but that's around the time when I started posting holistic health content on social media. And since then, I've had a lot of people reaching out wanting to work one-on-one online with me. So I kind of transitioned out of an in-person practice to more online holistic health mentorship and coaching for people. And I also spend quite a bit of time making content for social media. I guess I would consider myself a bit of a health content creator, health and wellness content creator, just educating people on my perspective on health. And it's not for everyone. It's just my perspective. And I love that social media allows us to share so many different ideas, and I love that I get to be a part of that. So that's a little bit what I'm up to these days.
I love it. I didn't realize you were doing online practice versus in person. So that makes so much sense. Okay, I'm piecing it all together. I'm loving it. Okay,
yeah.
So when you first started your chiropractic journey, did you see yourself ever wanting to get into the holistic side, or did you kind of just think you were going to be in practice the whole time, like in-person practice?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think luckily before I went to chiropractic school, I had some really great business mentors that just kind of opened my eyes to the possibility that social media and working online can have, the opportunities that that poses. So I think when I started chiropractic school, I just kind of started with an open mind. I wasn't sure if I'd just do in person or do online, and kind of switch over to more holistic health coaching. But after being in practice, it just seems like I tend to attract more people that want to do holistic health coaching. So I'm just following that lead for now.
I love it. So did you grow up, like, was your family more of a natural sided, or did you kind of get that by yourself? Because we grew up and we weren't very holistic at all. We went down rabbit holes, you know, when you first had your first baby and then all the things that were wrong with her birth and everything. We're like, this isn't just piecing together. Then we went down every rabbit hole you could think of. And now we're probably considered extreme in a lot of people's eyes around here.
Me too.
And praise the Lord, it's the best. It's the great freeing. It's free.
Yes.
Yes. So how did you kind of take over the holistic side of your practice?
Yeah, I would say growing up, my parents are very subtly holistic. And I didn't realize that until I actually found holistic medicine as an adult. But growing up, like, my parents didn't really believe in going to the doctor unless you were like really, really unwell. And I think that that's a little bit of a holistic principle, like really not relying on other doctors or other people for your health unless like you're at a point where you really feel like you can't do anything else for yourself. And my mom was never big on scented products. They always gave her headaches, but not because she was trying to be holistic. She just was listening to her body. She was like, these don't make me feel good. And so it's so funny, like, you know, we had no idea that that was like considered holistic or whatever, but now that I have a better understanding as an adult, it's just like funny to look back. I feel like I was like casually holistic or subtly holistic in certain ways. And definitely I would say being in chiropractic school opened my eyes even more to, I mean, the people at chiropractic school, they really showed me everything I know today. Like they opened my eyes to a lot. Being in a community of people that really value that, you just learn so much. And so my love and passion just kind of grew from there.
Well, I don't doubt it. We have a close friend who went to chiropractic school. She actually stopped it because she had twins, so she's a stay-at-home mom for right now.
Oh,
A beautiful soul. But yes. I saw, going back to your childhood and you saying you didn't really go to the doctor a lot, I saw you said something. Did you tear your ACL and you didn't get the surgery? Both ACLs, right? And
no, just my ACL and MCL on my knee. Yeah, so a
okay.
couple of
So,
different tissues, yeah.
how in the world? So, how old were you when you did that, and you didn't go get surgery done? So what's the backstory behind that? Because I when I saw that, I was like, I love this girl. She kills me. I love it.
Yes, so it's actually a super funny story. And I wasn't even, again, I wasn't trying to be holistic. That's just how I was kind of guided. So I was 19 years old. I was about to graduate from undergrad, and I went on a ski trip to celebrate. And I was doing things I should not have been going down a double black diamond. I don't know who I was. Like, I had never done moguls before. I had no business doing this. And I ended up like completely shredding my knee
Oh.
and on the mountain. Yeah. And so they rushed me to the mountain hospital, and that's where they told me, well, you're not going to run again if you don't get surgery. And I mean, I was sobbing. I was so scared. Like, I hate the idea of going under anesthesia for surgery, and I just was like freaking out. And so I went home after the trip, got a second opinion, and that was the opinion again, was I would need a surgery. And interestingly enough, at the time I didn't have health insurance, or the health insurance that I had a super high deductible, like $100,000 or something. And so the surgery wasn't going to be covered. And I was about to leave for chiropractic school, and I just was like, I guess I'm just gonna wait it out until I get better health insurance or something. And so I feel like it was just such divine timing with God. Like, it was April 1st, it was April Fool's Day that I tore my ACL. What a joke. And then I leave for chiropractic school 2 months later, and at chiropractic school is where I met several people who had a very similar story, tore their ACL, said they needed surgery, never got the surgery, and healed it. And so I feel like I had the best team of people around me to help me heal. And again, I wasn't trying to be holistic at that time. Like, I wasn't a chiropractor yet. I didn't really know much. Like, I just was like, can't afford the surgery, so let's see what happens.
Wow.
And
I love
yeah, I've been running ever since. I mean, I probably won't ever go skiing again, but that's okay. Like,
blame you.
it's not worth it at this point, but I think maybe I could. I don't know. So that's that story.
Yeah, I was like, I just want to know more about that because I was like, I've never heard someone actually say no to surgery, which I'm so glad because when my husband tore his Achilles, I was thinking the doctor was like, I was like, what happens if he doesn't get surgery? And she's like, actually, it could heal if you just keep it in the same position for a while or something like that. And I didn't dive too much into it. We got surgery, but thankfully we had health insurance that helped a lot.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so and also I think no, it wasn't that video, it was another one. I love that you said people, you probably get backlash on social media about being a doctor and then really going against the mainstream narrative, which is such a blessing. Your voice is such
Yes.
a inspiration for so many. And I love that you said at one point that just because they said you were, it was like victimhood or something. You know the comment I'm talking about, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. I say a lot of stuff on social
I
media.
love it. Same. It's okay. Yeah. It's like they said, you said, just because you believe, they said, Dr. Marley, you're wrong. And you're like, no, just because you believe that doesn't mean I am wrong or something like that. I'm trying to think, huh?
Was it about the ACL
Yes, it
or?
was in that same thing. You said, I went to the doctor 11 times after that, and they've been wrong. You know what I mean?
Yes,
Okay.
yes.
And
Yeah.
just the backlash. So how do you handle backlash from other people with being a doctor?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, oh my gosh. Yeah, there's this could be a huge tangent. I don't know, but
I love it. Go for it.
everyone's healing journey is their own. And so if someone doesn't resonate with what I have to say, that's totally fine. What I do works for me. And I mean, I don't mean this in any sort of cocky way. Like, I am so blessed by God. I feel like I'm the healthiest, one of the healthiest people I know.
Absolutely.
And because of that, I have such firm conviction in what I do to be healthy. And if I get backlash from that, that's fine. Like, if they're healthy doing what they do and that works for them, then, that's their healing journey, right? It's not mine. And, I think a lot of the people that do give me backlash, I think are suffering from a lot of health issues. And so, like, I think it can be triggering to hear certain things that I say, because a lot of what I say, like with the ACL, like it's not like it healed overnight. Like, it took a while to heal. And I think the medical system right now is very like, you're gonna get the surgery. It's very fast, it's very instant gratification. And that's not really my perspective on health. But if that's what people want and they're looking for, like, I'm okay with the backlash, because at the end of the day, like, I know I'm healthy and I just hope everyone else is doing whatever makes them healthy.
Right, we totally agree. Yeah, but I love your stance and how just bold and blunt you are with it, because I can relate to you. I say things and then I'm like, that sounds kind of like blunt, but like it's the truth, and people do get upset with it. Like, I can even go back, the Ozempic really irks me right now.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I'm like, you could do a lot more natural things that are much better. But just like the presence of you being so blunt about it is just like so needed. I feel like it is such your calling. Like, you just state the facts, and I'm like, yeah, she's preaching. She's preaching.
Oh wow, thanks. I mean, that's such a sweet thing to say. I mean, and you're right alongside it. Like, and I love that we're growing this community of people
Yeah,
that,
for
yeah.
sure. Social media is such a, I mean, it can be used as such a tool and a blessing to have so much information. And it's so amazing how we can pick from this and pick from that. Like, there's so many good things that has came from it, and have people speaking out about health and just about anything has been amazing for, I think, America in general, because so long people were just, oh, you have a strep throat, you have to get medicine. You have an ear infection, Amoxicillin. Yeah.
Yes.
You have an ear infection, you have to go to the doctor right away. It's just silly. Yeah, it's just so
Yeah,
silly.
I
Okay, yeah.
know. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
It's
what would be like your first awakening of the corrupt medical system? Now, I know, like, we are thankful for the medical system, like for car wrecks and, but everyday care, it is a problem.
yeah,
And
there.
there is corruption all the way throughout, but I'm sure we agree on
Right.
that. But what's the baseline awakening of the medical system that you kind of first came about?
It was actually a very, very slow awakening. And I still feel like I'm actually going through it, because even today, with chiropractors, like, it does happen within the chiropractic field too. I think there's chiropractors that, tell their patients, instead of, you need this pharmaceutical, now you need this supplement, right? And like, instead of, like, it's just they're swapping one thing for another thing. Oh, you don't need this surgery, but like, you'll never heal if you don't ever get my care. And so I think it happens, like, obviously between not just medical doctors, but chiropractors. And so I'm still kind of reconciling with, like, when it comes to healing, what is the role of the doctor? And I think, like, my biggest awakening was in chiropractic school, when one of my mentors said to me, like, doctor comes from either Latin or Greek, but I think Latin, it means to teach. And so if your doctor is not teaching you, that's a problem. And like, as soon as he said that, it just clicked of like, kind of like the story of Jesus. Like, if you teach a man to fish, like, if you teach a man to fish, like, he's set for life, versus if you fish for him, like, he'll never be sustained. So I think that same way with doctors, like I think in chiropractic school, I realized like even as a chiropractor, like you need to teach your patients to fish. You can't just fish for them. And so it just kind of made me reflect all the times I've ever been to the doctor and they didn't really do anything to help me other than tell me like my body was powerless. And after reflecting on that, I was like, oh wow, okay.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Our bodies are truly a machine. It's so funny that
Yes.
people think like as soon as the baby comes out, their body's so not worthy enough to take care of itself, you need like 50 shots in the first year. It's insane.
Yeah. Exactly.
People have
Yeah.
like
Yeah.
throughout their whole life. Just from injury to immunity, the healing is just amazing what the body can do.
Yeah.
And I wish we could just copy and paste you with all the doctors, because so many doctors, I don't think I've been to one doctor that has taught me anything
Yeah.
other than saying, we used to go all the time
Oh, all the
for
time.
strep
Literally.
throat. Strep throat. And now we haven't had it in how long?
Forever.
Forever. It's been years. I'm like,
Yeah.
yeah, because I healed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, gosh. I don't want to come across cocky either, but I'm like, trust me, immunity does it. Taking the right
Take care of your
minerals.
gut and it'll do you miracles.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
For
Yeah.
sure. And I just wish more doctors would do that. And there are great ones out there, and there's still wonderful doctors out there. But the system as a whole, it is really scary to see how many people fall into the system without even realizing it. I'm like, you guys, there's other options out there. So, and just the fact that you're faith-based, like God is giving you just such a blessing to use your voice and show it everybody what our bodies can do when you properly take care of the nutrition and minerals and all that. You called me out one time in one of your videos saying you don't need pre-workout, you need better minerals. And I told my husband, I said, we're ordering good stuff. I'm like, yeah,
That's amazing. That's amazing.
it. Like, I
Yeah.
have it.
Yeah.
That's so true. I've never thought about
Yeah,
that.
and I love, it's bad. I love
Yeah.
I
Oh
do. I was like, Dr. Marley's at it again. We're getting my gosh.
stuff.
Well, listen, if it works for you, by all means. I mean, to me personally, it makes me anxious. Like, I can't take any stimulants. So I get it. Some people it works for them.
Oh,
So
no, I definitely want to regulate my system where I don't need anything, because I just,
agreed.
but then again, we're so hyper
Yeah.
naturally too.
It's, yeah.
We're just little
We
chatterbugs.
probably don't need any caffeine.
Yeah. We do that in public and people are like, are they on something?
Oh my gosh.
Like,
What a
just joy.
blessing.
Yeah, just,
Yeah, what a blessing.
yeah, it is a blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the
Yeah,
Lord.
praise the Lord.
Yeah. So I want to talk about you're getting re seem really passionate about your cycle syncing and
Oh,
how you're helping
yes.
women. This is a hot take because so many women, their cycles are off, their hormones are off, and cycle syncing has so much to do with health. I want to put this on a platform with your book that you have out and just send people your way. So, can you tell us a little bit about the cycle syncing in the journal? Hey guys, I'm going to interrupt real fast to let you guys know that through this little session of the podcast, we had some internet difficulties. So, bear with us. I promise it's worth staying to hear what we have to say or what she has to say. I've really enjoyed this podcast so far. I hope you guys have too. And while I have you here, I want to tell you guys about Holistic Homebox. When I say this is a life-changing box for your household, I truly mean it, because literally every month we get a box that is at an affordable price with high-end products, and we get to exchange the bad products for good products. So simple products that we use every day, like toothpaste, deodorant, dish soap, toothbrushes, everything like that, a candle. Guys, this box is amazing, and I love it because it takes away the anxiety or the overwhelmed feeling that you can get when going through the avenue of switching your household into a cleaner environment. So they do great. The products are wonderful. I really encourage you guys to check it out. You can get 20% off your first box. Guys, give them a try. 20% off. You can use the code RejoicefulHomemaking for 20% off your first box. It's worth the try. I promise you're going to love the products. And when I say I'm thoroughly impressed with everything they've sent us. I truly wholehearted mean that. Sorry. Wholeheartedly mean that. So proud of them. Locally owned, Christian-based company. They are growing and thriving. The owners are amazing. Worth supporting, worth trying out. Here we go, guys. Back to the podcast.
Yes, absolutely. So, cycle syncing is not something I started. It's not mine. I don't know who started it. I mean, I would assume that it's probably more of an indigenous practice, to be honest.
Right.
So I would assume that that's the origin. Yes. So I got into cycle syncing a couple of years ago. I was intermittent fasting every day, and this was when I was in chiropractic school, and my roommate was like, "How are you intermittent fasting every day, like during your luteal phase? Like, isn't that causing issues for you?" And I was so unaware of what she was even talking about. I mean, obviously I knew there were phases of the cycle, but I didn't really have awareness about how your hormones fluctuate and how there's certain activities and foods and workouts that are best to do during certain phases of your cycle. So I kind of started digging into that and realizing, because of course I was intermittent fasting to quote unquote be healthy. I still was having hormonal acne, like I still was having PMS. And so what this thing that is conventionally said to be healthy, according to the biohacking wellness people or whatever,
Yes.
intermittent fasting, really wasn't that healthy. Yes, so I was looking into Dr. Minnie Pell's and just really learning about how eating certain foods can really support your hormones during certain phases of your cycle. And so I just started living this way. I started actually cycle syncing, and the changes that I saw in my life and my body were just kind of unreal. Like, I had debilitating menstrual cramps, I had hormonal acne all the time. I was just super burnt out and drained and fatigued. And as soon as I started cycle syncing, these things just went away. Not just like, magically. I mean, it did take time. My body was healing itself. But I like to kind of explain cycle syncing and aligning your lifestyle to those hormonal shifts the same way that you can align your lifestyle to the sun with your circadian rhythm and those hormonal shifts, right? Like I always say to people, yes, you can stay up all night. And yes, you could work through the entire night if you wanted to, but it's not what's optimal for your hormones in your body. And it's not in rhythm with what's going on with the hormones in your body. And so you're kind of paddling upstream if you're not syncing your lifestyle and your entire life to your circadian rhythm, and if you're a woman, your menstrual cycle, in my
Absolutely.
opinion.
Absolutely. It's scientifically proven. I totally couldn't agree more with this. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when I started talking about it on social media, it seemed like a lot of women hadn't really heard about this, and I was getting a lot of questions, and even this girl I knew who was a nurse was asking me about it, and she was like, it's just crazy. I didn't learn about any of this when I was in school. And so I would just get DMs all the time from women. And so that's when I kind of decided to put together this cycle syncing journal. And I'm someone who I've always journaled my entire life. Like I have dozens of journals filled since I was like 6 years old. I don't know. I've just always
Really?
like found such peace in it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I need to do better. I need to do better.
I mean, and it's not like I journal every day, but it is definitely a semi-regular practice. And over the years, like it's been so great for me. And so I always like before I started this social media account on my like just personal Marley social media account, I would always post like journal prompts, and I would always kind of share about journaling. And so I figured, something I haven't really seen before is like, yes, you can have all the charts and graphs for learning how to cycle sync, but like, how are you incorporating ways to actually reflect on the process going on inside of your body? Like asking the deeper questions during each phase of your cycle and, symbolically and physically, like the menstrual phase, you're detoxing, you're releasing from your body. And so you're physically releasing, but like, how
how can we mentally release as well? And like, what kinds of questions can we ask to support that process, not only physically, but mentally? And then your follicular phase, like your hormones are on the rise and energy is on the up and up. And physically, that's what's going on in your body. But mentally, like, how can we get you excited and prepared to reach this peak state of ovulation? And what kind of questions can we ask and kind of like mentally get you on board with that? And so to me, it just was kind of like a fun little project. Like, I started creating this cycle syncing journal, and it also teaches women how to cycle sync. And I have like a cycle menu is what I would call it, because I think a big aspect of the feminine is being in flow and not being so structured and rigid. And so instead of, some people were like, can you just write out exactly what I need to do in each phase of the cycle? And I was like, okay, if you really need me to do that, but like that's kind of defeating the whole practice of being in your feminine. And so I have the cycle syncing quote unquote menu is what I call it. And so it's just like a list of foods for each phase, and a list of activities for each phase, and a list of social things to do, or things you can do in your own home, or workouts you can do. And so it's really designed to be a tool that you can use in your own flow, because everyone's different, right? And it's just a framework for people to use. And so yeah, that's kind of the story of the cycle syncing journal, and it's just been so awesome to hear women's feedback about it, and be able to create something that women can actually use.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
That's
amazing.
genius.
I love
Genius.
that.
Yeah.
That's genius. That's
Yeah,
right.
genius.
Well,
Oh, thank you.
no, really though. For sure. And that can even help with fertility too, like cycle syncing and making sure your hormones are on, par for all of that. And people don't realize how like up and down, because we're on a 24-day cycle versus the man's on a 24-hour cycle, correct?
Yeah, we're more like 28 days, and
28
they're,
days.
yeah, 24 hours. Yeah,
Which
yes.
leads into like so much like for women's health. Like I just feel like we're starting to be on the uphill rise with the holistic community, with women's health, with how important it is to know about our cycles. So that is such a cool tool that you just created, just out of the wing. I know it took time, but that's so genius. I'm just so glad you brought that to your community.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
With
It's
sleep.
been fun.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. And I'm sure so many women are thankful for it, because I know when we were before all this, I
In
mean,
high school.
in high school with cycle, like it shouldn't be normal to have cramps that make you cry. And then they prescribe you birth control, which just irks
Yes.
me, like that's a whole
Exactly.
different lane. And then acne, I mean, of course, I have some right now, but like there's just so many. And then mood swings, and really, like, women do get moody, but we can regulate it better with the nutrition we're giving our bodies to help,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which leads
Yeah.
me into your hot take, which we love it, about women working 9 to 5s. And now this makes sense that I know you work online and do that, because our cycles. This is one of the reasons why we do. I understand why some women do, but we
Yes.
also know the cycles and why women don't thrive in that workplace like men do. So I want to hear your hot take on it, because this
Yeah,
is something,
we're very passionate about.
yes.
Yes, yeah, it is something I'm super passionate about, because I always, whenever you hear something, like, I always just kind of like to flip it upside down and question the other side, right? So it's like, women have been told to work a 9 to 5, and we're told like boss babe and girl boss, and like this whole culture, this hustle culture, which is, it is very masculine. And the 9 to 5 is based on a testosterone dominant hormonal cycle. And if we were to say, so the question is like, where we flip it to the opposite way of like, if a man were to start acting like he had a 28-day hormonal cycle, I mean, I think if some man just came into the office and was like, yeah, it's my luteal week, like I'm taking things easy, we would be like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't even have those hormones. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, it would just be literal insanity if a man started cycle syncing, basically. Like, there's no hormonal basis for that at all. And so that's the same thing that we've asked women to do with this 9 to 5. It's like there is no hormonal basis for women to be doing this, and acting the same way every day and having the same energy output every day. I think it kind of goes against our very biology. And that's such a beautiful thing about the menstrual cycle, is like it is such a great teacher in the sense that, like, what is going on in your menstrual cycle, right? When you're menstruating, you are releasing. And so that is a time where you are actually physically detoxing from your body. Like, you might notice your armpits smell a bit more intense during this time because you are like your body is actually releasing. And so what can you do in your life that will support that? And it's so different than what men experience. And I think that it's just not really honored. And like the luteal phase with the hormonal dips and things are kind of starting to wind down, you don't really see that in hustle culture, and you don't see that in modern work culture today. And I think I'm not saying that women shouldn't work at all. I think women can work 30 to 40 hours a week, but I think it's going to look different than a traditional 9 to 5. And when I'm in my follicular phase, like I could totally work a 12-hour day. I mean, and that's again, that's maybe not for everyone, but if you stay-at-home moms do that all the time, and they're working a 16-hour day, but it's just, how can we do that in a way that actually supports what's going on inside of our body instead of forcing some paradigm that is not created for us onto ourselves.
Right, which is so interesting because the how everyone is working themselves like they're sick. Like everyone's so sick, and it's because everyone's working just all the time, and it's literally making our whole culture sick. And
And the stress load
yeah,
women
the
can't,
stress load.
of men versus women's stress load, being able to manage it, it is different considering the hormones versus what men can just, mentally, it's even scientifically proven, men can block off things. Women do saturate more so than men, and that makes our stress levels go up and all of that, which also
Definitely.
leads into the cycle on how can we manage it better, because I do believe we can help, especially with the good Lord as our Savior. Of course, He's going to be always our joy, but we can help ourselves,
Yes.
with our emotions through knowing the cycle and all the phases and what to eat and all of that. So,
How
I
absolutely.
how God designed us and the tools He's given us to use to help make us healthy.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Yes, I could not agree more.
Yeah, and I also just, yeah, women definitely can work for sure. And stay-at-home moms, I don't think they realize how much we do. We're going and going and going. And then some days, like you said, some days we're just like, oh, especially during our phases, it's just like, I need a laid-back day, just relax.
Absolutely.
And that's not for just stay-at-home moms. That's for all every woman and on planet Earth. You can see women
Yes.
sit back and be like, oh.
Absolutely.
So I love that
Yes.
you're doing that. I love that you're helping women in that a aspect of life, because I feel like it needs to be talked about it more. And I feel like I said, I feel like we're on the uphill rise with that area with health. And I'm loving seeing people talk about it. Because I would say women
Absolutely.
with the cycle syncing and everything,
Absolutely.
like within the last couple months or so, it's like what?
Yeah.
Which we've been into the like holistic living for, my son's gonna be 5, and that's
He's gonna
when,
be 6.
oh my goodness.
Oh
Gonna be
my gosh.
six. Man, I'm a bad mom over here. But he's gonna be 6, but that's when we started to really dive into things. But words are, you can learn every day. It's amazing. It's truly awesome.
Let's get down to, you probably hear all the time people say eating healthy is too expensive because, dealing with all the cycles and stuff, you probably need to eat healthier. You just need to do it in general for your health. So what would you say? What advice would you give to those people who think eating healthy is too expensive? What would you say to them?
Well, it's definitely situational, but I love this question. I've been very open about my experience with eating healthy. There was a time in my life where I qualified for food stamps. I was below the poverty line for several years of my life, and I mean, this is not for everyone. I understand everyone's circumstances are different, but that was to me, a more important time than ever to prioritize my health, even when that was my financial situation. Obviously, like I don't have children, I don't have a family to support. But, I think a lot of people that say eating healthy is too expensive, I mean, not that it matters, but I'm like, I wonder what. There's kind of two ways to look at this is like, what are you spending your money on, right? Like, people will say eating healthy is too expensive, but then, they go out to eat. And like, when I was going through this period in my life, I didn't ever go out to eat, like I was just buying food to make at home. And so, I wonder when people ask this question or make the statement that eating healthy is too expensive, like, maybe that's true for them, or maybe they don't know how to budget and they're spending their money on things that aren't really filling their cup and being healthy for them. But, let's say someone is in a financial situation that's not favorable to eating organic. And I don't think, listen, I'm privileged to have access to organic food and to finally like to be able to provide for myself in that way, but I understand not everyone has that. Like I have been to food deserts. I understand they very much do exist. Like I've been in places, if you drive through New Mexico, like I mean the only place you can get food is a gas station. And so I get that. And I would say, don't focus on getting everything perfect. I eat organic now because I have access to it and because I want to spend my money on it. But at the end of the day, if you eat as close to whole foods, single ingredients foods as possible, I think you're going to be a lot better off. Like one banana from the gas station can be 50 cents, you know what I mean? And a package of Oreos can be 50 cents. And so, of course, the banana is not organic, but that's not what's important, right? Like you don't have to do it perfect. You don't have to do organic, but is it a single ingredient food, or is it a food that has 50 different ingredients that you can't pronounce? And so I think just starting there. And in college, like there was a time I lived off rice and beans, like those are some really cheap single ingredient healthy foods, and they don't have to be organic. And I think people underestimate like what you can do with rice and beans, honestly. Like
So good. I love rice and beans because it's so.
right? So delicious, so delicious. And I get it. Again, might not be for everyone, but I'm definitely the type of person like I get d decision fatigue, so I can eat the same meal every day for like a month and not get sick of it. And like rice and beans could totally be one of those meals. So that's kind of like, I want to be delicate with the question because I understand like no one knows anyone's financial situation unless you're in it, unless it's yours. And I think there's definitely some grace for that, but I think a lot of wellness influencers and myself included, like, yes, I do show things on my Instagram that probably are not financially obtainable for everyone. And like, I want to do a better job of showing like you can still be healthy with things such as like rice and beans. And I think social media, I mean, that's like a side tangent, but like social media definitely is designed to be a bit flashy and promote a certain lifestyle. And I think it's two-sided that content creators can do a better job of not always promoting the next like new gadget or $20 smoothie. And yeah.
I love that. And it's so true. And also, it's like when you said, what do you spend it on? Because it's so true. A lot of these people who I hear say it, I'm like, I see them get a coffee every day. You can afford an $8 coffee every day for breakfast and,
Easy.
and making things from flour
I
and
love
eggs. Just,
coffee.
I know, I do. But like, so many people will spend it on, Netflix or other avenues, which I guess it's not our place to say what you can and can't spend it on. But when it comes down to groceries, I just believe health is so important that I always say I am willing to spend some money on groceries rather than vacations if I had to choose, because I believe it's just so important for us.
Right,
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah. And I like, there are lots of things, and I should be more open about this. Like, I'm not saying this to be a saint, like, by no means at all, but in the sense, like, I cut out alcohol to be able to afford, like, there's certain things, like, or yeah, getting coffees, or yeah, Netflix, like, subscriptions. Like, I have cut these things out. Luckily, like, now I have a bit more financial freedom, but like sometimes you do have to make that decision. And I think, I talk about this a lot, like it's yeah, like with social media, the same sentiment of like social media kind of makes you think you have to have it all. Like you need to have this and that and this. And I think that's very toxic for people that are struggling to figure out like what's actually critical for them to be healthy, and like you don't need all these material things, even though they're nice,
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah,
Just
I
sticking to
agree.
God's diet. Remember that's what I
Yes.
said. I said, that's what
Yes.
I said, I'm gonna do God's diet. And you're like,
Yeah.
what's that? I said, only ingredients he's created.
But it's so true.
Yes.
Ex
It's so true. It's the
I
best.
love that.
My body doesn't really even crave like I like a treat every now and then, but I don't crave like
We used to.
junk.
Yeah.
I could eat like a steak for breakfast and be like,
I love
yummy.
steak.
Oh, I know.
Roast. I almost heated up
Yeah.
roast for breakfast the other day. I was making Johnny lunch today at 6 a.m. and I was thinking it was rice and meat and onions. And I was like, I could use this for breakfast.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh.
I made a protein pancake instead.
Yeah.
Oh,
But
yum.
anyways, so we'll have one last question for you, then we'll let you go. What encouragement do you have for women who are just starting out on this journey to become more holistic? What encouragement would you give women?
That's a great question. I love this final question. I would say any woman who's starting out wanting to be more holistic, I would say, first of all, you don't have to make all of these changes at once. It can be little by little, and you don't have to be perfect. And give yourself some grace while you're going through this process. And I always like to tell people, like, healing isn't always easy. It's not always comfortable. It's not always glamorous. And it's okay to like struggle through your holistic journey and take it step by step. Like it, you don't have to be perfect. And I think returning to nature as much as you possibly can is going to benefit you tenfold. The returns on that, like eating single ingredient foods and just walking outside in the sun and touching the earth and spending time with people you love, just returning to these very, very basic things, can really lay the foundation for a holistic life. And I think also trusting your body. And as someone who is a Christian, and I have gone through lots of spiritual reformation, though, in the sense that like I didn't always grow up like this, and I didn't always grow up with a faith in God. Like I think hand in hand, like my faith in God, actually my faith in my body almost strengthened my faith in God, in the sense of like just realize like whatever God is to you, if you're not a Christian, like even just nature, like our bodies. There's nothing in nature that is like failing,
Right.
other than what humans are kind of destroying. But like, you look at the trees and they just know how to live. They just know how much water to drink and how to grow and how to reach towards the sun. And it's crazy. Like, if you see a tree that has fallen over in the forest, but it still has roots, like it starts growing upwards. Like the tree will curve towards the sun. And I think that that's such a great sentiment, in the sense that like our bodies really know what to do, and nature knows what to do, and we have been equipped with a body that will heal itself, if you just trust it and learn to deeply listen. And social media and doctor's offices and all these things can be like scary places that can kind of promote losing trust in the very thing that is keeping you alive and keeping you safe. And I think my favorite sentiment from chiropractic is the power that made the body heals the body. Like your body grew out of essentially nothing, out of two little cells inside another human. Like it's just such a miracle. And so I think living a holistic lifestyle is just having reverence for that, and a deep trust that your body knows what to do when you give it space to return to nature.
I love it. That is so good, and it's so true, and it just goes back to treating our bodies like temples. Christ laid down his body, not for us to treat our body like garbage, but to honor it and respect it with giving it the nature he has provided us to live in and to garden and all that. You know, he has given us so many opportunities and resources to have a great body, to thrive in this life, and to have a great life, and to have a healthy life.
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely.
I love it.
Yes.
Well, you have been such a joy, such an honor to talk to, and we couldn't be more thankful that you took your time to hop on our podcast for our listeners.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you both so much. This was seriously such a fun time for me, and I really enjoyed it. What an honor to be invited on your podcast. And
Okay.
I hope this was helpful. Yeah, thank
Oh, yeah.
you.